Welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast,
your fish and Marillion podcast,
where we talk about all things in the planet of Marillion and fish. I'm Meza, and here's my mate,
Craig Houston.
Hello and welcome to our end of year review on Planet Marzipan.
Part one,
yes. I'm here with
his Lord Houston.
Craig Houston. We've got some guests. We've got a round table today. Oh, we haven't, but I've got a square table. But we've got some guests on. So, without further ado, introduce yourself, Gary.
Hello, my name's Gary Page. I've known Craig for, I don't know how long I've known Craig for. He's a fan of my...
14 years.
Yeah, he's a fan of my mate, David Ford, who's a singer-songwriter, as is Mark. And yeah, I saw him, he was wearing a Marillion t-shirt at a gig and we just got chatting and we've been in love ever since. And obviously, I've now met everyone else. Yeah, I live in Eastbourne on the South Coast. And first time I heard Marillion was on Top of the Pops in 1991 doing Cover My Eyes. So I'm a young man. And that was it. I was smitten. Obviously, I was aware of Fish, but that song kind of is why I'm here now.
Fantastic. Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Barton. I think I've known John. I've known you both about the same time, I think, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And I must have met you both at the same time, and it's too many moons ago when we all had different colour hair and better teeth and everything else. My first saw Marillion in 83 at Reading, but I was too young. We weren't allowed in. We had a geography teacher that was into prog, and it wasn't dodgy. He was trying to get us into music. It just sounds dodgy. And we'd done an inter-school athletics championship down in Farnborough. And on the way, but we couldn't work out why he was doing this during summer holidays. And on the way back, we went to Reading and we stood outside the fence and watched Marillion.
Very good.
So that was my intro.
Cool.
And I've seen them once or twice since.
Just a few times.
Mr. Bardley Wood.
Hello, everybody. I think it's right to say I've known you jokers for best part of 1,000 years.
Something like that.
Since the dawn of time. And as you may or may not know, the first time I saw the greatest band in the land, they were supported Status Quo at Milton Keynes in 84, 85, oh. At the end of the 84, says John, the end of the road show, Milton Keynes, and I've been a fan sort of ever since. That's condensing it down to a more simplified version of the real story.
Yeah, your full story will be a 13-episode tale.
That's
Mr. Mark Kennedy, you've been here before, but tell us who you are and who you work for. And
do I have to?
Yeah. Well, less it's changed since I spoke to you last, has it?
Well, not yet.
Britney Spears has come up, has it?
Yeah. Elton John. Mark Kennedy, worked for the band. When did I first see them? 1980, can't remember, at the Capitol in Aberdeen on the Clutching at Straws tour. 87? January 88?
Yeah.
It would have been start of January 88.
We've got a collection of gentlemen with lots of experience about the band. And we're just going to talk through the things that have happened in 2023. The guys will chip in. We've got some people who've done lots of gigs, some people who've done a few gigs, some people who collect everything, some people who buy nothing and stream everything. That covers it, doesn't it? So we're gonna start actually at the end of 2022 because Fish put out Vigil's End from the 2021 tour.
We've got an interloper.
Oh, hello.
Oh, no.
It's trouble for everybody. Best behaviour.
Wasn't me. I never said anything. Wasn't me.
Don't be on your best behaviour. That's boring.
Well, we've just done the introductions. Shall I do yours on now, if you'd like?
Go on, then.
Who are you? And where have you come from?
Well, that bloke in my top left-hand corner sent me a Zoom link and said, come and annoy everyone.
That's fine. So Lucy's joined us.
I have.
For those in audio.
Drinking a Coke and smoking a fag.
Suitably relaxed.
Suitably relaxed.
Well, we're just talking about Derek's live album, which was at the end of 22, just coming into 23, Vigil's End.
Oh, I haven't heard that, but Vigil is a fucking awesome album.
It's quite a bit of it. Well, there's a bit of it on here, isn't there?
You would hope so if it's called Vigil's End, wouldn't
it? Well, all right. Is that how it's going to be? Merry Christmas. Yeah.
I thought I'd better go and pick it off the shelf, John.
Sorry?
Thank you, Mike.
Let's get some order.
Where was it recorded?
It was recorded in Leamington Spa in November 2021.
Yeah.
It's actually, for my money, the best Fish live album for a good few years.
Oh.
He has in the past put some questionable live albums out.
Understatement.
Yeah.
Much of an understatement.
But this is good, and it's got a few Weltschmerz tracks on as well, hasn't it? It's got some early Weltschmerz tracks on. Yeah. It's quite good value because it's a 2 CD, 1 Blu-ray. And then on the Blu-rays, put an alternative audio. So the whole set is there from different venues. So, you know, you've got like Liverpool, Southampton. So it's, you know, it's a good package.
Yeah.
Anybody else got this, Mike? You've got it?
Yeah, and it's got the whole concert from the Lemon Tree in Aberdeen, the first show there.
What's that?
Yeah, the audio, yes, yeah.
Before COVID.
Before lockdown, yeah.
Locked it all down.
Had he ever done a live version of Vigil before?
No. Not officially like this, no.
No, it's good. So that kind of eased us into 2023, didn't it, really? They were arriving over Christmas last year.
Yeah,
and into January.
Into January, thanks to Royal Mail. The other notable thing in January was the launch of Marillion Monthly. On you.
That would be me. I just put an episode out today with you in it.
Well, thank you very much.
Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I watched it at 2 o'clock when I was working from home.
Lucy, was that the original plan for it to be Marillion Monthly?
No.
Oh, here we go.
Now, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast. We had this crazy idea to do. We even had a logo that Mark Kennedy designed. Mm-hmm. We're calling it the 365 Club, and we and Barnes knows about this as well. Yeah. We asked Barnes. we had this crazy idea to post content every day for the whole year, and we'd fleshed out most of the year, and you know, we were like, yeah, we can do this, and then about 2 weeks before we were due to launch it, I just thought, we can't do this. And I phoned Tim and I went, Tim, I know it was my idea, but we can't do this, can we? And he went, oh, thank God, no, we can't. And I think we got to halfway through February, and me, Mark and Tim all sent each other a message going, thank fuck we didn't do that. Oh my God. But it would have been brilliant, but so much work.
Yeah.
Well, the original, even when you went to monthly, the original plan was all leading up to the Roundhouse gig, wasn't it?
Yeah. The whole point of it was we were going to do a subscribers-only Roundhouse gig. And then the Roundhouse, because they've got, as any of you who are at the gig know, have their own rules and regulations, and they wouldn't let us sell tickets through anything but, you know, Ticketmaster or whatever it was. So we couldn't make it subscribers only. So we couldn't do a subscribers only gig. So yeah, if you go back to the first Marillion Monthly, I talk about a subscribers only gig. That never happened. But maybe we'll do something one day, somewhere, with people.
So you were interviewing Mark on the first episode, weren't you?
Kelly, yes.
Yeah. How did that go?
Well, I mean, I still don't like seeing myself on camera, but that first episode, I'm just like a deer in the headlights. I'm just going, welcome to Marillion Monthly. But I think I've got more comfortable as
I think you have. I think you definitely have, yeah.
Doing all the audience widths at the Marillion weekend has helped, you know, talking in front of people. So yeah, I'm all right now. I still don't like it.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us on this one. Barnes?
Yes, I said, Lucy, do you remember who the 100,000th subscriber was? Do you remember? It was quite funny. It was in Berlin, and it's your best mate who had not subscribed.
Oh, George, yeah.
He was 100,000 subscriber. Do you remember? When you...
Yeah, he's right. He's
absolutely remember, right. How does this work anyway, Lucy?
Yeah, absolutely. We were on, I was like saying to all my friends, I was like, we're on 99,998 and need two more. And George is like, I haven't done it. How did you do it? On there. Oh, well remembered, Barnes. Well remembered.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll mention that again when it happens in June. It's on my list, but so across the year then, Lucy, what you've interviewed? I know you've interviewed Mr. Kennedy, haven't you? On Merlin.
Well, yeah, but highlight of the entire thing, obviously.
Yeah, I wanted to interview all the staff, but Rich and Mike Hunter won't be on camera because they don't exist.
Obviously. Was it Rich or Mike that wanted to do it with a, you know, with a light on a TV crime show with a silhouette for a disguised voice?
Yeah, Rich said he'd do it if we could disguise his voice and face. But next year I'm going to interview some of the crew, you know, Jens and Phil, yeah, and all that, and they've all said they'll do it. They're not shy. It's just Rich and Mike. Though, here's a question for all you nerds. Let's see who can guess it. Mike Hunter has appeared on screen in a Marillion video. Which one?
He's in the Making a Brave at the end.
Yeah, Making a Brave,
When he swears.
Is he?
An official Marillion video.
Oh, hang on. No, it's not I Believe. No, he wasn't the Santa face in I Believe in Father Christmas, was he?
Carol
Bell. Like him though. Carol, yeah. Yeah. Who said that?
It was me, Gary. Yes. Hi, Lucy.
He was Father Christmas in Bells. Go back and watch the video, and there's a Santa dragging a Christmas tree across the field. That was my cousin.
Yeah. Did you know that, Gary? Was that a good guess?
I just remember someone looking like Father Christmas, and he looks a bit like Father Christmas. Yeah, it's a great video. I love it.
Okay. Well, Ethan and I actually watched it again today because I got him to vote in the prog Christmas track. I said, you haven't voted, go and vote. And he scrolled down and, of course, they got the YouTube link to the video. And he was like, oh, I'll watch that. And he was like, oh, we've got to do some more fun things. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just want to dress up and hit Mark with a frying pan again.
Well, okay. Well,
that was the, you remember that video where they for the
Well, anyway. That's January. So the launch of Marillion Monthly was the highlight of January, I think. February's a bit sparse, but it's all about transatlantic. This is just me chatting on my own again, isn't it now?
It is. Well, talk amongst yourself.
Lose the entire room.
No, I'm with you on that one, John.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, John. You know my prog threshold's very...
I know. Low, it's all right, Gary. You know, I'll get it out of my system now and then we'll move on to Marillion again. But I was asked by the Web UK to interview Pete when this came out, actually. So thank you for asking me, Web UK and Mark and Lucy. This is the Final Flight Live at Olympia is a 3 CD, 1 Blu-ray epic pack.
Is there 2 songs on it or what?
Yeah, just about. But it's from the 28th of July 2022, final gig of Transatlantic. It isn't going to be the last release from Transatlantic though, because there will be a release from Morsefest 2022. So I can see all the people in front of me looking really excited. Oh.
can't wait. Be still my beating heart.
Neil say yesterday, never say never, it might happen again?
Yeah. Sorry, Gary, what are you going to say?
So in a couple of words, what do they sound like? It makes me sound like I've seen me really in all the time, but I'm just not in. Yeah, it's not my thing, really.
They sound like Spock's beard mixed with the Flower Kings, which mixed with Marillion, mixed with Dream Theater. What you would expect.
Yeah. Cool. I will check them out.
Well, I love them, but they're probably your worst nightmare, mate. They're as probably cool.
I have grown to like them, so.
Yeah, you do like them.
Yeah, I've got a big pile of their albums.
Yeah.
In my
cupboard. That Stockholm syndrome or something, this is.
In the unlikely event that you'll ever listen to this, mate, it's fantastic. So don't listen to these guys. I went to the gig the day before. They played London the day before.
Oh, rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah, it was the day of the rail strikes, my birthday was. Yeah, but I still made it. Yeah, it was fantastic. And I do hope they come back around, if only to prove certain people on this podcast wrong, because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But that was February. In March...
Well, you're still in February. Mike started his big tour around with Still Marillion, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I beg your pardon, yes.
Still Marillion started the season off with five... Well, they've done six shows, they got five with them, because my wife happened to have her birthday on one of them, so she pulled rank and I couldn't go. But yeah, they done five shows, Derby, Swindon, they're the usual two to start the season off. Bathgate, Chester and Nuneaton, and then they went on to Cambridge. So they were starting their 15th birthday year. Their Age to Perfection year.
Do you want to talk a little bit about who Still Marillion are? Because we haven't really covered them yet. We are planning on an episode where we talk to the guys, but...
Yeah, oh, well, they'll tell you much better than me, but are they a tribute band?
Yes.
Yeah, they're a Fish and partly H. Era Marillion tribute band. Been gone 15 years. A couple of the guys were in the earlier incarnation of Forgotten Sons. And
we saw them in Glasgow, didn't we, John? Yeah. Back in the day, was it 2004?
Well, I haven't seen them in 3 years, and I really want to go and see them again. But this is going to sound really weird and maybe a bit egotistical, but hopefully you'll understand. But the last time I went, lots of the fans kept sort of staring at me and making comments and going, oh, are you enjoying it? And, oh, didn't think I'd see you here. And I just felt like, fuck off, leave me alone. I just want to stand in the corner and watch. And I felt that I couldn't. So I haven't, that was quite a few years ago, and I haven't been to see them since. And it's a shame, because I'd love to.
We have that problem, don't we, John? Wherever we go, people keep coming up to us.
Barnes, that's police.
Oh yeah, silly man. As someone who
only got into the band in 91, never seen Fish, obviously, with Marillion. They're incredible. I've gone with Craig and John, and just I absolutely love them.
They're brilliant. They are really, really good.
Yeah,
so next time, Lucy, if they play Newcastle, come up, we'll protect you. Come see the lovely Clue, it'd be great.
They're doing a double header in Leicester.
They are.
In May. They're playing an afternoon and an evening. And the afternoon's H era and the evening's Fish era.
I don't want to see the H era, but that doesn't interest me at all. But Martin seeing the Fish stuff, he's absolutely phenomenal.
We'll smuggle you in, Lucy, into a quiet corner.
Get this, guys.
John, am I right in saying that's the UK convention of 2024?
Unofficially, yes.
Yeah, we're going Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sorry?
They're not there. Well, they're only playing Friday.
Exactly.
I think there's lots of other bands have now tagged onto it.
I think you'll find Barnes is playing Friday. They're doing Saturday.
Oh, the Marillion weekend this year, I just didn't know what was even going on. There was about eight Marillion tribute bands playing.
It was epic. It was epic.
And the only people who ask or that I contact with is Still Marillion. And all the others just, you know, and I'm just like, stop piggybacking on our... stop piggybacking on our weekend, thank you very much. So the only one we advertise is Still Marillion because we have a relationship with them and they ask. And they usually do, you know... charity fundraising and stuff with us, whereas the others are just jumping on our bandwagon. Thank you.
Oh, there you go. You heard it here first. So apologies to Still Marillion. Yes, that brings us to the end of February and then into March, where we all went to Holland.
No, I didn't.
You were already there.
Oh, already there. No, already. Oh,
we came to see you. We came to see you.
I didn't, because I was in bloody school as usual.
Uh-oh.
One day I'm gonna skype off. I know, sorry. You try and smuggle me out, don't you, Craig? But
I do. Trouble is, you get dobbed in.
Well, everything we're about to say, Gary, about how good it was is a lie. Okay, for your benefit.
No. I'm fully with you. I live through your joy. It's fine.
That's that only March.
Yeah.
What? 16th to the 20th of March.
That feels like last year. Oh my God.
Not yet.
I was doing my homework last night, Lucy, and I was typing this all out thinking, Jesus, that felt like last year.
Yeah.
I think you need to introduce yourself to Helena. Looking at this list, mate, you've not been at home.
I know. So I'm getting a council tax rebate.
Any memories from Holland, Lucy? Apart from it was last year.
No, as with every episode, it's just a complete blur because it's non-stop for weeks before, as Mark knows.
Yeah, it's more the before. It's not so much the, although it was busy. It was busy for me during this time as well. It was a lot busier.
Yeah, there's just so much going on. It's just, I just love it at the end of the Sunday night when everyone's crying and going, oh no, it's over.
Yeah, that's it. That's my, you know, when we're all going to sit up the back at the end on the Sunday night, that's probably my favourite bit. And we're all just lying on the ground going, oh, it's finished.
In the adventure.
Opposite the shop at about 12:30, everyone's all geeked,
aren't they? Yeah, we're just all lying on the floor going, yes!
Okay, well, obviously the man who had the best time that's currently on this round table would be Mr. Wood.
Oh, God.
But how much of it can he remember?
I've got a couple of good stories, Johnny, if you want to hear them.
Go for it.
Well, story number one. Saturday night, I was in Billy's Burgers, as you generally are on Saturday night, around about just after the prog disco, into Stephanie's prog disco. So I missed out on your... And anyway, I was just ordering a chicken burger when Stephanie tapped me on the shoulder and goes, right, you're on. You agreed to do it last time. I went, that was 4 years ago. So it was like, essentially, I had to pick up the prog disco for 2 hours on my telephone. that was a joke. And so anyway, so long and short of it, I'm up on the stage trying to... Well, we listen to Wind and Wuthering and then some other prog related stuff. I'm like, just going to deliver everyone left. We're still there till like 2 a.m. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, dance floor classic. What gorilla? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you said you'd do it 4 years ago. Oh, great. Thanks a lot there.
Thank you, right.
Also, John, have you talked about Born to Run yet? Because I think you gave it a bit of a diss in last time.
You go for it, mate.
Literally one of my favourite songs. I literally love it. Like, and they played on the Sunday night. I just couldn't believe you said that about it.
I've heard that people have been prescribed it for insomnia.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Great song.
It's a joke, Lucy.
It's so rude.
Why?
Because it's a really epic song.
Hang on. I heard you today talking to another podcast about how you liked how honest they are.
Would this be the podcast that argued?
Oh, I love that they argue. I love it when they go off on one. I like it when you argue with Craig.
Yeah, we just disagree. It's, you know, it's, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of Born to Run, in case anybody's not knowing.
It's my second favorite Born to Run, but I still like it.
Also, I was going to say, John, I keep speaking to you, John and Craig and everybody, but I thought it was literally the three nights were three of the best nights I could ever remember. It was epic. And yeah. I thought Friday night was brilliant. I thought that can't be beaten. And Saturday night was better, and then Sunday was. All three were just epic nights, weren't they?
Yeah.
And we always, because we're so, in some ways, where we are, but it was just epic. And that, you know, the wide stage and the lights, the whole thing.
I mean, that was a masterstroke, Lucy, with the wide tent.
Yeah,
absolutely
Brilliant.
It was just the real deal, wasn't it? It was absolutely epic.
And
you know, three nights, you know. But I thought Friday night, I mean, I'd have happily gone home on Friday night and gone, I've got my money's worth after one night, to be honest.
I was much happier with a fatter and wider tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should have been a t-shirt.
Fatter and wider.
Yeah. I'll get on it.
Width is better than length.
Fatter and wider is better than longer.
If this were the Corona Diaries, that would be the title of the episode.
It would be, yeah.
What kind of just call it that.
But I thought Jens did a fantastic job because obviously he's got a wider expanse to light, but he really used the sort of whole width of the
stage. It should do with the money we pay him.
Sorry.
And I know you've
been Jens, I was angry for a pay rise for you, but that's gone.
That's why he said always looks so amazing, because we throw the budget of a small country at it. But we can't do that at normal gigs.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
Yeah. And it looks brilliant on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it looks, yeah.
Hi.
I mean, I'll go as far as it was only beaten by the quiz, really. What do you think, John?
All about the quiz.
Production values that went into the quiz were even off the scale, I would say.
Well,
every year you send me the questions, and every year I can't answer them.
I think Barnes did the AI round this year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, not a clue on that. Not.
But that went down really well in the room as well.
I've got an even more complicated one for next time, Johnny.
Oh, don't, because we'll be back to That's Never Brave, which Craig and Mark know about. But...
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That was up there with Name That Fart. That
yeah, when Dobby got the school kids to draw the album sleeves. Yeah. That didn't work really. But...
Mind you, one thing, though, that John doesn't know, Mark, is what our plan that we considered doing for this year, didn't we? We considered actually entering the quiz anonymously. Yeah. The two of us.
We're going to enter and sit at the back. And
in disguise.
Yeah.
In disguise, yeah.
We do it next time, the three of us.
Yeah. Not the cakey boys.
I was going to say the boys of cake. That would confuse them, wouldn't it?
It was also the first outing of that coat and those trousers.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What coat and what trousers?
H's Topshop coat.
The
Grove jacket thing that we bought from a lady's boutique.
Thing.
Yes, from a lady's boutique.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, I was thinking I wasn't wearing trousers. I've got shorts on that weekend.
Do you think it looks more like a gorilla?
Yeah, Dan bought that.
I think he regrets the choice when he's under those lights, don't you?
Well, I thought he was going to take it off after the song, but he left it on for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it glued to him with a sweat?
Yeah, he needed to rig it out at that point.
Oh, I took all his clothes about 2 months ago to a dry cleaners because they hadn't been washed. And I was so embarrassed handing them over. They're literally crispy with the drying wet. And then... Chris, and they were all covered in all these black jackets, you know, all covered in the white sweat stains. And I sort of handed them over, and the lady was like, looked at me, and I went, oh, it's a performer. And because they're all weird as well, you know, because he's got things written all over them. So I'm just like, just wear gloves and clean them. But she did a fabulous job.
It was also the weekend of the Mankini.
Nick Banks.
Getting all them other prog artists to do a birthday message.
Yeah, that was fun. I just messaged them all secretly, and I remember because they were all sending Steve Wilson, everyone, Steve Hackett. They were all sending me the videos through, and Ian happened to be in the house, so I was just sort of discreetly watching them, and he walked in the office just as I and opened the one with Nick Banks wearing his mankini, and I didn't have the sound on. I just wanted to check that and I just went, what? And he went, what? And I went, nah, you know, escape button, nothing.
An image that can't be unseen.
You can watch it on YouTube anytime you like.
Yep.
On Marillion Monthly.
I wanted to give an honourable mention to the support bands, actually. There was June Road, Dilemma, Dave Foster Band, and Pure Reason Revolution.
Yeah.
I think it was a really, really varied mix. It was good.
And, and for the first time, it felt like the Adventure Factor in the afternoon for June Road. Well, Dave Foster on the Saturday and June Road on the Sunday. They were rammed. They were absolutely rammed, which is really good because you sometimes it's a bit hit and miss whether they get the audience.
Yeah. The other thing that was launched that weekend was the Best of the Weekend Blu-ray. Do you want to talk about that, Mark?
Not really.
I didn't have that much.
Other than doing the artwork and that, I didn't have that much to do with it.
It was George's idea, I think.
Yeah.
George had the idea, and I said, "Yep, that's brilliant." Contacted Tim. And it was literally like 4 weeks before Port Zealand. George had that idea. Contacted him. He put it together. Mark did the artwork. Sent it off to manufacturer. Bob's your uncle. Just wanted some new product. Sell, and I actually thought it turned out really nicely.
It did.
It's a good. It's a nice little taster.
Yeah,
and it's got a few new bits on as well, which was nice. You know, there's a couple of Leicester tracks from 2022 on there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what else was there? There's a fantastic place from Marbles by the Sea, which has not been out on DVD before. Yeah, so there's three or four extra bits for the avid collectors, so it's worth picking up. It's a really nice set.
It's got the train lights from Leicester, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone hold, because that was such a beautiful moment, again, to surprise the band that they didn't know about, and no one had seen it really, so I wanted to put that on there.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really good. Good promo for The Space, actually, this. But
yes.
And then later on in April was the Harlem weekend, which was the last one to be announced, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was because they needed to do another Marillion weekend, because otherwise by the time they got to the third one, they would have forgotten what they were playing, because they would have been too... No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It would have been too big a gap between that and Port Zealand and that. And I tried so many places, honestly. South of France, Spain, all loads of places. And in the end, I was like, we've got to put something. We can either just do it at the Racquet Club, which is pointless because there's not an audience, or we can just chuck one in Holland, as long as it covers the costs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it actually turned out a lot better attended than I thought it was going to be. It was last minute and it was Holland and everything, and we were pleasantly surprised.
Was it a chance for Dutch fans that couldn't, because PZ presumably sold out, didn't it? Was it a chance for Dutch fans that couldn't get there to go?
Yeah, it's kind of that. That was the reasoning as well. In my head, I was just like, well, there's all, you know, we've got thousands of Dutch fans and we usually have about 400 of them come to Port Zealand, because, you know, we know it's expensive. And obviously, if you live 10 miles down the road, you don't necessarily want to spend money to come and stay at Centre Parks for the weekend, so you just don't go. So it was a chance for those fans as well, which I thought was nice.
And it was different support band there, wasn't it? How do you pronounce it? Lazuli?
Lazuli.
Lazuli.
Yeah. They were brilliant. They were really good.
Were they?
Yeah.
Have you not seen them before, John? Because they support the Fish.
I have seen them support Fish. Well, are they the guys that do that thing around the xylophone?
Yeah.
Really good, impressive. And I presume that an audience was different there from Holland, from PZ?
I did them different at every single one.
Right, okay. That's creating work for yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is why at the end of the Marillion weekend season, I lie on the floor in a darkened room.
And again in April, there was the Padua weekend.
Italia.
Yeah,
that was great.
That one really was good fun.
Yeah, I don't think an audience would have worked as well in the Italian version.
No, it didn't, because they hardly anyone spoke English, and I'd done sort of things that would work visually.
Yeah,
but they didn't. But even then, they didn't work as well. I mean, it was all right, but it was hard. I don't think I'd do it again in Italy.
It was funny.
Seeing me struggle.
Yeah.
I swear.
Wow.
Was David not translating or something as you went along, or?
No, but I mean, we did the guess the Italian, guess the name of the album in Italian, and David was going, you know, Le Strange Engine, etc. He wasn't that, you know, whatever it was. The band didn't get any of them, I don't think. They were absolutely rubbish. But, you know, I tried to do things so that would work if you didn't speak English. But the Italians were very impatient.
Really good, though. I mean, I think the venue itself, it was like a bit like PZ, but with seats and a nice reach. You know, it looked temporary, but it was permanent. I thought the fan zone was great. The transport from the town, it was well organised. It was really, really good. And you had Venice down the road to boot, you know, so there was a bit for everything. There was the tourist side of it and the music.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Was that the one where Ricardo was support, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ricardo Romano Land supported on the first night, and then the audience with Lucy on the second night.
Yeah. Into May then, Montreal.
Does anybody go?
Montreal was back to a three-nighter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to spend all that money to get out there and stuff, you might as, you know, that I said to the band, can you do a three-nighter? So they pushed themselves and did it. And it was great, as it always is. And the weather was fabulous and the fans were fabulous and it was lovely.
Well, we think that's it for the three consecutive nights, don't we? Is that still the feeling?
Yeah. As I said to you before, I'm going to find a way. It might have to be Friday night gig, Saturday night, no, Thursday night gig, Friday night off, Saturday and Sunday gigs, yeah, or something like that. I don't know. We're working it out.
Yeah. Okay. And again, different supports in Montreal, John Young and Matt Dorsey. Is Matt Dorsey from Sarah Contact? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out John Young's my neighbour.
He is, yeah.
Is he?
He lives like 200 yards down the road.
He used to live 100 yards, he's moved, has he?
Well, I guess we keep moving it. It's bloody hell to the noise there.
And yet another audience with.
Yep. Oh, that one was hilarious because it was actually H's birthday, actually on.
Oh, yeah.
So it was birthday themed, and I got messages from all his family and played them on the video screens. And then I got like a giant keyboard that stretched out over the stage on the floor and got Mark Kelly to play Happy Birthday, you know, by jumping on it, play Happy Birthday to H. There was, I can't even remember now, the birthday themed. And it was absolutely...
And I'll get the chair and the crown as well.
Yeah, we got him a special chair and a crown and birthday balloons and a big birthday cake that Annick, who helps organise some of the stuff in Montreal, Annick came on and bought the cake. We did. Yeah, it was birthday themed. It was absolutely fabulous. I loved it.
Brilliant. And then we got another release. So
yes,
in May was the remix of Season's End. Which was caused a bit of a stir, didn't it?
Well, the cover did.
The cover, because it's a bit fugly.
Whoa!
Cut to the chase.
Should I get Craig?
It's a bit fugly.
I quite like the cover, actually. I like it that it was different.
Yeah.
Just wait till we review the album in the new year. You'll see the new cover.
But it was interesting when you had Mark Wilkinson on, which, can I say, was a fantastic episode. What a lovely guy.
He was lovely, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He really
talked about it, didn't he, as well? That, you know, he'd gone from Clutching at Straws into Season's End and the change and, you know, the change direction with the artwork. That, for me, actually cemented it a bit more for me.
Yeah.
Well, it was when we were talking about him putting Mark and John Arneson on the bottom of the video cover. Yeah. That's when he said,
yeah,
You put my jester in. Yeah.
Yeah, because we'd always thought that it was actually Fish who'd instigated putting those things on it. And it wasn't. It was Mark Wilkinson's revenge for them changing what they'd actually did with the jester on the Season's End cover, which is really funny.
Well, the cover aside, which I think will divide the group here, I mean, it's a nice image. I just personally would have preferred the original, so I'd got a full set of prints. But I'm not going to make any bones of that.
No.
Pardon?
I'm not the fuss, but you are though.
I'm not.
I think it looks ace. I think it was brilliant. Much better.
It's a lovely image. I just, you know. Anyway.
It's my favourite. It's my favourite.
I think it's my favourite cover ever, actually. It's
Gary, my favourite. He's putting his hand up and you're ignoring it.
Yeah, yeah. Go on,
Gary.
Gary,
sorry about that.
Yeah, like in school, that's not on.
apologies.
It's fine. It's fine. Musically, I think it's my favourite 8-year remix.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm not a massive fan of remixes.
Yeah.
Because production and is all part of the sound of the album, especially Brave. It wasn't doing it for me at all. But this is, I think, my favourite remix of the 8-year stuff.
Right.
I think for me, it's between this and Holidays in Eden, because I think those two are really, really good.
Yeah, I think Holidays is so ingrained in my head from being 15. I just can't hear anything other than the original, I'm afraid.
I like the remix. It's a bit, the changes are quite subtle on this for me. I played it again today and it's clearer, but they're not. I think Holidays is a more, it brings more out of the album, but this is still great.
Yeah. The only thing I was a bit disappointed, I think I mentioned it to you and Lester, John, about the way that a lot of the tracks build up, take years to build up, and then they just fade out at the end.
Yeah, yeah. You want an ending, don't you?
Yeah, I want
a crescendo.
I love an ending.
try calling all stations by Genesis if you like the fade out. Yeah.
My mantra to the band, can we have an ending?
Yeah.
Often they play Courts and it goes, one of these days, we're just going to stop.
That's where it ends.
Yeah.
I just should have. I literally just always shout out, stop!
It's the same on Power.
Yeah.
It should just stop.
Yeah. I know.
What I do like about this set is the Blu-ray's packed full of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as we got towards the end, you're really making use of the space on the Blu-ray with the extra, you know, the Montreal bootleg's a really nice touch on here. And the surround mix is great. You know, Greg knows I love the surrounds of these. And that's that and the documentary, the first things I play when I get these.
Yeah, I always play the documentary first.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. On the screen, can I ask you all a question? And stick your hand up. Who actually listens to music and surround sound then? You really do?
Yeah. It's brilliant. When it's done right, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
If you've got the system to do it, then yeah, you would.
No, I don't. I don't know what any of those surrounds sound like because I don't have the surround sound system.
Nor do I. I don't.
When it's done right, you are right in the middle of the music. You're right in the middle of your favourite albums, and to hear them like that is just wonderful. It is.
I think it's going that way as well, Lucy. I think the reality is it's going that way, isn't it? You can do the old headphones on, which is a bit of a cheat, you know, but the way that Apple are doing it these days, it's sort of almost surround sound. Then anyone's got the proper gear can get the
force. I'm going to disagree because I've been having this argument with like Rothers and Mark for at least the last 10 years that they told me that there's no, the CD and vinyl would be obsolete. That was 10 years ago. CDs is still going for us and vinyl's having a resurgence.
Mm.
So, you know, that's the way it's going for surround sound. I don't believe you.
You're wrong. You're bang wrong, Lindsay.
What is it that Craig says? What is it you say about surround sound, Craig?
He's only got two ears.
He's only got two ears now.
Only one of them works, yeah. Well, respectfully, Lucy, you're wrong, but there you go. We'll move on.
Uh-oh.
It's very unlikely.
Not in my house.
Now, don't say it twice. You get away with it once, Johnny, but not twice.
Johnny, is it still loads of wires? I remember I had a surround system in about the year 2000. I just couldn't handle the wires.
Exactly.
Like, just surrounding my house. I was like, no. Nah.
It's under the laminate or it's in the skirting. Otherwise, the dog would have it.
Yeah, I've got a 6-year-old child. That's
all right.
Not happening, is it?
No, give it time. Let's move on to something we can all talk about then. Leicester weekend?
Epic. Epic.
Yeah.
No, Mark wasn't there.
I wasn't there, no.
Oh, you missed out, Mark. You're brilliant.
Thanks for that.
It was, I mean, I've got to say thanks, Lucy. Just adding an English weekend for me that worked in a school is just like amazing, because I know it's not the same as going to Port Zealand, but it's just, it makes my kind of year really when there's a weekend to go up to Leicester and see Craig and John and everyone else. It's just amazing.
It's also worked this year as well, didn't it? Because it was the bank holiday.
Yeah, so, it did. Oh, for me, it was brilliant.
It didn't have to be the Friday, Saturday. It became the Saturday, Saturday again. Which
Yeah, it's brilliant.
The venue's lovely as well.
Yeah. The venue's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah,
well run.
The venue's brilliant. The sound's brilliant. The staff are brilliant. It's just lovely.
Leicester's a nicer place. No disrespect to Wolves. I love that too. But Leicester's just a great place to go and just wander around as well, I find.
Yeah. I think it's great with the De Montfort. After having the bars open and having that space, you can go down onto the grass and, you know, have a cig outside, whatever you want to do, can't you? You've got that social side as well. It's in the same venue. It's brilliant.
And every time Lucy drags herself to the side of the venue, it's about midnight to get the photo taken.
I usually get Barnes to shout it, don't I? I get someone to shout it.
gather around, everyone.
Barnes, are there any clean stories you can tell us about Leicester?
Well, not really, but I can rustle up a couple. We went on a Friday, which quite a lot of people did, actually, even though it didn't start till Saturday. Yeah. There was quite a hell of a lot of people went Friday, and it seemed like those on Friday all went down to see Mr. Punch. And I know Lou's... Did you not go?
No, me, John and Craig went out for a beer.
Yeah, we were sitting there with the one about the sex sign in that pub.
All right. Anyways, first time I've seen them, and I thought they were really good. I really liked them. And I'm not very different to Steel Marillion, but I still loved them. I love everything about them.
Is Mr. Punch the ones with a female guitar?
I really liked it. And I think the difference was, if I was describing it, is they sort of sang the slightly earlier songs, but they gave them lots of gusto. So it's rather, weren't even sort of a museum accurate or anything like that. It was just lots of gusto. It was it's had a real sort of, and it really set off the Friday night. I really enjoyed it. I was sort of, first of all, I've seen them and I thought they were epic.
They were on at the Musician, weren't they?
Yeah, that small place that gets around.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Where are they from?
Italy.
Italy.
I think they've come over especially from Italy. And then drove back again or something crazy like that, wasn't it? John,
do the three nights, don't they?
I only went to the first one, but I thought really enjoyed it, actually.
Is he singing an Italian accent? Once more.
A Scottish-Italian accent.
Yeah. It's not without power. They just blast the nerve. You know what I mean? I really enjoyed it, actually. I thought something
Yeah, no, lots of people went. John Chapman was there. He said it was great. So, yeah.
It was utterly packed. It was like, you know, two-pack, really. But there you go.
Two-pack was there.
But also, if I remember correctly, there was a bit of a backstory to the Steel Marillion Saturday and Sunday, you may remember.
Was.
The whole band came down to do the weekend gigs, and then Martin was called away.
Yeah.
Because of a family emergency.
Yeah.
And then, well, Mike, do you want to take, because I had a similar emergency.
It was literally 11 o'clock. We're loading into the first venue, Too Funky. Martin got the call and had to go. There was no, you know, it was no shall I or shall I, it's go, and he's gone. And it was a bit like, the guys were like, what are we going to do? Well, we can't pull it. It's sold out, you know. We've got a show to do. So... I've said on my notes the karaoke set because it was a bit of a they got guest singers up to sing. Some were good, some were woeful. I won't mention any names.
I was there. It was it was quite it was really emotional. Obviously, when H.
Well, no, this was the Saturday.
Sorry.
The one on the Saturday was a bit more organic of people getting up. The guys, Stuart's done a great job on keys of taking over on the vocal duties. Various members of the audience got up. I think the most memorable one was Daniel, who got up and done a rendition of Fugazi that no one will ever forget, with full Jethro Tull theatricals. And then, of course, the Sunday gig was, they knew they couldn't do the same again. They knew they couldn't go with a karaoke set and getting people up to do it. So I pulled in a favour from Mr. H and asked him, would he pop down the next day and come and sing, of which he agreed, which was lovely of him. And then said, what do you want me to sing? So the guys were giving him suggestions, and he's going, do you not sing anything after 1989? So they gave a few more suggestions. He came down to the Y Theatre. And it, to I think to 99.9% of the crowd, they didn't know he was coming. And the bands weren't 100% sure that he was coming. And he came in and he opened up with Easter for them, which was fantastic. You know, really gracious. It was a nod for Martin, you know, just to see H's face when Mark's doing the guitar solo and H has given him the nod and almost, yeah, that's really good. It was lovely. I think, you know, it went down really well for everyone.
Also, not forgetting
some of you were there.
Yeah. Not forgetting Rich Harding, who stepped in as well, Mike.
Yeah, Rich Harding then carried the vocal duties for the rest of the show and Daniel got back up and done Fugazi again.
I'll never forget Daniel.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
I don't think Daniel will ever forget.
But Rich was really good as well. I thought he was...
Again, for someone to step in the last minute. And, you know, Rich knows the songs. Rich has got his own Marillion tributes.
Yeah.
But I thought that was... They carried the weekend off great, so credit to everyone.
Rich has been on standby before, though, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Lucy will know. Yeah.
But we'll gloss over that. Dim Grey was supporting Leicester as well, weren't they?
Dim Grey, yeah.
They were good.
I missed them.
Okay.
I saw them in Sweden, so I missed them on this one.
Yeah, I didn't see them in Sweden, so I can't...
They were really good, actually. And they seemed genuinely bowled over by the response they were getting from the crowd. I think it must have been one of the biggest gigs they played at that point, so they were, you know...
They seemed like about 15, weren't they? They were like...
Well, they're a bit, yeah.
I know, but to me, they were so young. But yeah, just that enthusiasm. I mean, it's not really my... As you know, John, it's not really my kind of thing, but I really enjoyed it. I thought they were... And enthusiastic, and
I think it went down well, and it was great seeing them bowled over by the response they were getting, wasn't it?
Mm.
Totally. I mean, I put in my notes, I think, and I'm not saying it because Lucy's on here because I didn't know she was coming on here, but I thought the audience where always works better in England because it's the English speaking and the humour and the crowd and everything, but I thought it went down really well. We had tennis balls at the ready again,
but she wasn't playing.
I can't even remember what I did. It's all a blur. Tired just thinking about it.
Shall we move into June? Was the first of the Steve Rothery Band weekends in Manchester. Certain person on merch.
I don't know, was there? Certain person on the front row reviewing?
Possibly, yes. Yeah. it was, I mean, it was Band on the Wall, which is, it's had a refit since we were last there, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's got wider and longer and the sound system's definitely been improved. The quality of the place has been improved.
And it's got air conditioning, which was really important that weekend.
Yeah, I've played there. It's not... It used to be a bit of a sweatbox.
So. Yeah, it's really nice now. I mean, it was the weekend of the Champions League final, so, and City were playing, and it was like the 9th and 10th of June, two of the hottest days of the year.
Roger Waters was playing in town.
Yeah, Roger Waters was playing on the Saturday at the MEN. And it was Park Life Festival in Manchester, so getting in and out was difficult, but it was a brilliant, brilliant weekend. It was I Am The Morning was supporting again. As
on
did
both nights as well. Yeah. They were there for both nights.
And then the Rothery Band were just on fire, I think. They did the three songs from Pripyat, and then on the Friday, we got Misplaced, followed by Assassin, Jigsaw, Freaks, Incubus, AOS, Garden Party and Market Square Heroes. And then the Saturday was Clutching, followed by some other classics. It was a really good weekend. And apologies for repeating what I've written in the web magazine, but I don't think I've seen Rothers smile as much as that.
No.
It was really relaxed and really, you know.
They were really tight. They really were. And it was Martin's first show since the passing of his dad.
Was, well, yeah.
And he got rapturous applause, you know, rapturous response from everyone. You know, Afraid of Sunlight when he sang it was quite emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Really emotional. You were down the front. You were up close and personal.
Well, I wasn't that close, but yeah. it was a great weekend. And if he plays again this year, I'd highly recommend it. I mean, they seem to be selling more and more tickets and the demand for the Rothery tickets are going up. Doing lots of stuff out in Europe again. Well, he did this year, didn't he? But yeah, it was really good. Really good.
So surprised Lucy hasn't got nailed into the studio for the rest of the year.
Well
I am surprised that Lucy's not in anyone else.
Like, let them out of the place.
If Lucy was here, we could ask her.
Yeah.
Because you can't stop me.
You can't see what Lucy's face looks like, listeners, but it's not a pleased face.
It's not a pleased face. He's not supposed to be doing that.
So we'll not go. We'll not go to that Midsummer Prog thing then. in the forest.
You've got to go. The Midsummer band with Big Pointer's Arena.
Arena and Arena support the Steve Rotherby band.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
The next thing I've got on my list, I don't think any of us were at, which was the live debut of the Steve Rotherby. I don't know how I pronounce this name. Questioning.
Oh, the guy from Tangerine.
Dream. Yeah. Can't find very much about it online, so apologies if you were there. We'd love to know more about it, but all I found online is they played about 45 minutes of unreleased instrumental music.
Yeah, we didn't get in until the next night, so well, the next day, I think. So
I can make something.
Totally missed it.
Yeah, go for it, Barnes.
I thought it was epic. We got there, we were stood quite in the middle actually, and they played for about 45 minutes. All instrumental, unreleased stuff. I think it's going to be amazing when the album comes out.
Yeah, it was very new to the day, wasn't it? It was very new.
Quite widdly.
The lights were brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant lights.
All right, people. Moving on to the Berlin weekend.
Yeah. Hooray.
24th, last one.
It was fabulous.
It was fabulous. I really enjoyed Berlin.
It was wet on that Friday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, that ruined it.
Anyway,
I got an email from a disgruntled fan who said that the rain ruined the weekend for them. Like it was my fault.
Well, it is. Why can't we control the weather?
Was it you?
It's not good enough.
I was going to say the opposite, because when it was raining, we found this little cafe-struck bar right by the venue, and they were doing lard sandwiches. So it was like... So we went there 3 days running. It was epic. We were living on lard sandwiches for 3 days.
We ducked into this... We were out in the pissing rain as well, and we walked past this Vietnamese restaurant, and it didn't look up to much. It looked a bit grotty, and then it started pissing down, so we ducked back into the restaurant, and it was absolutely fantastic. So,
if ever there was a need for a Marillion umbrella...
Was it the Tempodrome? Is it Tempodrome?
Yeah,
my dad lives in mid-Berlin, so I've seen the National there. It's just a brilliant venue, isn't it?
It's a funky looking venue.
It looks like a permanent circus tent. Yeah, yeah. There's a handy hotel though, right next down the corner.
Yeah, that's where we stayed. Yeah. Really nice.
Good, we enjoyed it. And here you go. We've booked it again.
Hey. I might have to go.
A little scoop for you.
Hey.
I'm not telling you when, but we've booked it again. That's one of our definites.
Cool.
I don't think I've even told the Web Germany that.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't think that's the first I've heard of it as well. So.
Mark, I haven't told the band. In fact, let's rewind that. I haven't told anyone, even the band. So you've got a real exclusive now.
Thank you, Berlin
again in 2021.
Oh, fab.
Have you mentioned Mr. Phil Brown? Because apparently he was doing a lot of running around behind that mixing desk for the first 20 minutes when we were watching him trying to get the sound right.
He hates it, but tough.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying, Barnes, that your neighbour was playing support there?
He might have been. We were eating loud sandwiches.
It was quite funny because I don't know if you remember, Mike, when we went in the venue, the posters for the weekend, and it was almost like John Young and then Marillion, wasn't it?
That's because Thorsten, who organises our
journey,
manages them, I think, so or something. So she did the posters, he would have put their name as big as ours, but he won't be doing that. Again.
Moving on.
So, Lucy, would you say this year's conventions have been the most successful in the 21 years that you've been doing them?
What do you mean?
in total, just as a whole.
I don't know, but what do you mean successful?
Well, both financially and for the band itself, for how they've enjoyed them. You know, in both terms, you know, have they enjoyed this year's conventions and weekends more than they've enjoyed previous ones?
Financially, yes. And also, they weren't sure themselves whether they wanted to do a two-day weekender, you know, because the whole point was three nights. And they actually really loved doing the two-nighters. The PZ in Montreal was really hard work physically for them. So they really enjoyed the two-nighters. So, yeah, I'd say very successful because they were happy, all of them except Ian, because he's never happy. I'm saying that in case he's listening.
Yeah, I think the two-day format works really well, actually. Just so you can, if you're traveling, it's a little bit of a mini holiday. So you get time to land, get your stuff together, and it's two nights. It's not totally your weekend.
Yeah.
If you want a full-on weekend, you'd holland for that. That's sort of where my brain's at.
Yeah, it worked really well in Berlin because we had, you know, we had the gigs and then we had the rest of the weekend in Berlin as well to have a look around. So
it's a winning formula. Chanced upon a winning formula.
Yeah. Which was the weekend where you could stay in the hotel that was attached to the venue? Which one was that?
Was that Poland?
That's usually Poland, yeah.
Poland and Sweden had that, didn't it?
Right, okay.
Stockholm.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really attached, was it?
Yeah, it was over the road.
In Sweden.
Woodge's part of it, the one in Poland.
Yeah, I didn't like that, though. Did they do the same for the H gig in Woodge last week, Mike, where they did it... that the fans went and stood in the other room to have their drink because
it was still the same. Yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah,
but it was really strange because he wasn't expecting to be playing in the big room, and we got there and there was 600 seats out on the floor. I was like, oh shit, he's playing in the big room. But yeah, it's still the same bar in the other room, merch in the other room.
Noise the crap out of me.
Yeah, big burly security guards that won't let you smile.
Oh, aye, some of them. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. No, thank you.
The last Polish weekend, some of them looked like they'd been booted out of the Russian army or something, you know. They were...
Did you not upset our Polish listeners on the last episode?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Apologies to both our Polish listeners.
Yes. I'm going to plough on because we're at the end of June, so this will be the end of the first episode, but we finish on two high points. 23rd of June, the band were on the front cover of Prog magazine with an article about Season's End, and... as we may have already mentioned, on the 24th of June, YouTube subscribers hit 100,000 without Ben George.
Thanks, George.
So we'll round off part one at the end of June and we'll go around the table and say, it's good night from me.
It's good night from you.
Good night from him. It's good night from them.
Good night.
Good night. And then I'll sit
Au revoir.
Have a lovely new year, and we'll see you on the 2nd of January.
Ike.
Still alive.
And have a mince pie.
Am I going to watch telly now?
Thanks for listening to Planet Marzipan Podcast. Please like and subscribe from whichever platform you get your podcasts from. You can contact us at planetmarzipanpodcast@gmail.com. And check out marillion.com, fishmusic.scot, or fishmusic.eu for all the good stuff.